And welcome to another motherfucking episode of the Quaid Thanks Podcast. Hanging out behind the Jones Assembly, something or other here in Oklahoma City. This is my first time at this venue. Super stoked. Except I've never been here before. Before we get started, I want to give a shout out to, of course, Shake Music Zine, DJ, always kicking ass, taking names. Want to give a shout out to Texas Gypsy Shirts. I'm actually wearing my Texas Gypsy shirt that I got from y'all, or from them at Lake Joe this year. It's awesome. It's got some armadillos drinking some fucking Lone Star on it, because Texas. And, of course, shout out to Ironclad Custom Services. Cap, you're the fucking man. And shout out to your moms for checking out this podcast. My guest this week, the one, the only Mitchell Ferguson. What's cracking, dude?
What up? You know, just chilling out here at the 21C Museum Hotel. Isn't this the coolest place?
Yeah, it was fucking trippy. Like, walking in here, and I mean, it's swanky enough, I'm surprised I got let in the door. Of course, somebody held, like, they had somebody whose job was to hold the door. That threw me off. I don't deserve that. I'm usually the one who gets stuck holding the door, which I'm okay with. You know, be nice. You got to put that in the world, but, like, it's a little awkward. People are being nice back. It's like, okay. And, yeah, the whole bottom floor is, like, a restaurant and a museum. There's, like, art and paintings and shit everywhere. Like,
yeah. Yeah, there is a...
It's nuts. And it's nice up here. They don't have a fucking ice machine. We're waiting on the ice guy so we can pour up for the show.
Yeah. It's a gourmet ice. It doesn't just come out of a machine. No, but I love this place. And they've got a partnership with the Jones where they, you know, help hook us up with a nice rate to make it make sense, and it's just right behind the venue, and that's something we always run into. It's like, oh gosh, it's late and we're drunk, and our hotel is 20 minutes away.
That nightmare is real.
Yeah, so this is ideal for sure. Yeah, we got this nice little hangable tapestry blanket thing.
Yeah, this is a really really awesome hotel room. This is very very high end, very resto mod.
Yeah, and on a lot of the TV channels that they have, they've got your, you know, normal stuff, but they also have a few that are just like art videos. So we turned it on earlier, and it was this guy just doing an acapella version of Bohemian Rhapsody. It was super weird.
That's what a PBS shit is that?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I'm game. I want to, like, I'm gonna have to go back and YouTube this later.
Yeah, no, it was.
I'm sure
it's
Googling
cool.
Acapella Bohemian Rhapsody is going to be the hardest thing to find in a specific video right now.
Like, oh god, there's so much stuff out there, but it's this one was. I think it was
robes. Intentional.
Yeah, I know. Michael's walking out here in the 21C robe.
Represent.
Yeah, keep that, dude.
Hell yeah. But you play up here in Oklahoma City quite a bit, right?
You have
been here lately, right?
Yeah, I think this is our third. We've played in Norman a couple of times, but we've been fortunate enough over this year. This is our third time playing in Oklahoma City. This is our second time at the Jones Assembly with Parker. He's kind enough to have us back out. Okay. And then we were at Tower Theater with Flatland.
Yeah. I like the Tower. This is my first time here at the Jones, but I've been to the Tower a couple times. It's pretty nice.
Oh, yeah. Tower's sweet, and it's just got so much history to it. And... yeah, I mean, it's a totally different part of town and a completely different vibe than over here.
Yeah.
But this is a much newer venue, and they just... And Tower is the same way. The staff is just totally there for you to help and make it the best show possible, which is just always super refreshing.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not always that way.
Yeah, no. Very often, sometimes you're a burden for asking questions, but here and at the Tower as well.
The sign of the eye roll kind of comes along with the territory.
But not in OKC. OKC has always treated us extremely well. So, yeah, this is our third time in Oklahoma City this year.
Hell yeah.
Twice with Parker, once with old Flatland Cavalry.
Right on. And then, you played with Parker at Charlie B's back in Lubbock.
Yeah.
I think that was the last time I seen you.
Yeah.
I want to say.
When was that? That was...
In the spring, wasn't it?
I think. It had to have been. Like February, March.
Yeah, somewhere around there. It was for Larry Joe.
Yes.
So, for Larry Joe after New Year's, definitely the spring.
Yeah. That's how I determine spring, is in relation to where LJT is. I've still yet to go, dude.
No. This will be like my sixth or seventh year this year that will be coming up.
Oh, damn.
I can't fucking wait.
And it's in March.
Yeah, no, it's the last full week in April every year.
Gotcha.
So I actually made the LJT style page a couple days ago.
Okay.
Blew my mind. I wasn't expecting that.
Dreams made.
Dude, dreams happen every day. You just gotta realize it.
Yeah, you gotta.
You know what I mean?
You gotta accept it.
Yeah, no, like, it's, you know, traffic was not hellacious coming up here today. Now, leaving work today, it's fucking hell. I had a great day at work today. Like, those are miracles. Those are great things that happened today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, traffic sucked leaving, but, like, traffic up here was good. Work was great today. Had a great day. My hair looks good. Like,
it does look good.
You know, dreams happen every day.
With the Johnny Velvet hat.
Yeah, shout out to Johnny Velvet. I still need my hat, man. I ordered a new one of these. This is my red one. I've had it forever. So I had a black and white one, a blue and gray one, and then this red and gray one. And the black and white one was, like, a different layout, different style. Well, I've ordered another one of these in black and gray, and I haven't got it yet, but I'm really excited for it. I love these hats, man. This is pretty much, I think it's this, well, it's these Autos is the brand of the hat. I don't know, there's just something about these, and the font on them and everything. I just love the hats, man. I've worn them for 3 years now, 4 years.
Nice. Yeah, I know they're the ones that partner with Blue Light during the songwriter competition. Mm-hmm. But
well, John Taylor, the dude who owns Johnny Velvet, he also has a studio, Mount Vernon Studios.
Oh, okay.
And they've cut a bunch of shit up there in Lubbock. But speaking of Lubbock, of course, you played the Blue Light Singer Songwriter Comp this year.
Yes.
Which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
With my dude Ox, who was there.
Oh, Ox is the man.
Dude, he just got done with his record. He said it to me. I'm sorry, Ox. Well, I'm not sorry, Ox. I'm going to text you the Dropbox so that you can check it out. It's awesome, dude. I dig it. So, like, it's got Brian White's on it, K-Nuds is on it, of course, Shirtum, you know, it's well done, man, it's not for anything, it's just very well done, I dig it.
Nice. So I'm stoked to hear it.
Hell yeah.
Well, yeah, old Blue Light Singer-Songwriter competition, and now, actually, full circle, earlier this week, there's the Blue Light Dallas location that's just opened, and it's getting close to about a year, I believe. But the owner there, Mark Torres, is a good buddy of ours, and it's just super awesome. And we are up here in Broken Bow on Monday and Tuesday just doing a little songwriter's retreat that he put together for us to just go hang and kind of decompress. And so Blue Light has spread, and it's really awesome, you know.
Yeah, I went to the Blue Light Dallas show. When was it? Not very long, a couple weeks, probably. No, 4th of July-ish. I don't remember. We went a while back. And I'm not super familiar with Deep Ellum. And so that kind of threw me off. But I really dig the front, man. I love the murals. Of course, Brisson Phillips, the guy who did the murals at Blue Light and Tom's, also did the ones at Blue Light Dallas.
Yes, yeah. I noticed that as soon as I walked in.
They're different murals, but it's the same artist. So it keeps that integrity, which I think is awesome. But the only time I've been there was I went and caught just a little bit of a Sunday morning Red Dirt Roads.
Oh, okay.
And gotcha. I've yet to catch a show there. So, yeah. I mean, I can say I've been, but I haven't really got the experience yet. So,
yeah, man.
I'm excited.
They've been having a ton of great shows lately. And
I just don't have money to drink in Deep Ellum, man.
I can drink
at the Blue Light. Blue Light Dallas, it hurts my back pocket where my wallet's at.
It's definitely not the Depot District, you know.
No.
Like, it's I love it, you know, but it is definitely something where pre-gaming may be a thing that occurs just because it is so expensive. It's
right. Well, I mean, Dallas has Uber and Lyft and all that, which is nice. So I'm not living there. I'd have to stay at a hotel anyway. So
right.
Let's set that up.
You could stay with me.
Dude. Set up pretty good. You live in Dallas?
Uh-huh.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, right on. So like how, I don't know what your fucking address, but like how far away ish are you from like Deep Ellum?
Oh, like 10 minutes maybe.
Oh, dope. That's not bad at all.
Yeah. Yeah, about 10 minutes from Deep Ellum, and we're over in East Dallas, Junius Heights, my roommate and I. And for the longest time, I was living about 35, 40 minutes north, and I was spending every day in Dallas, and I was just like, I gotta come back down here, you know, just because it makes more sense. And finally, a couple months ago, we bit the bullet, did it, got the place, and it's been awesome. I love it.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah. Where were you living before that? Were you still in Dallas? Or?
Yeah, just a little bit north in a suburb, Carrollton, where we'd grown up, and just, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So, dig it. Man, I'm not sure I could handle
doing the born, raised, and still live in the Metroplex with all of that traffic. Like, oh. My anxiety couldn't handle that, dude.
Yeah.
I lived in Fort Worth for a little bit last year, and it was fun. I dig it, but I gotta get the fuck out of town, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
no, that's a real thing. And that's honestly one of the main reasons that I decided to move into town is because I was living out of town, but I was going into town every day, and it was just...
The drive is hellacious.
Too much, yeah. Way too much. But yeah, so I'm loving it. It's really nice.
Hell yeah. Well, dude, the new single, Cry, is on the new album, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dude, it's been popping up on my Spotify anyway, but like, dude, fucking, of course, and the shout out to DJ The Shake Session.
Yes.
That jam.
DJ Dugan.
Yeah.
The dude.
Yeah, but like the Shake Session on that was awesome.
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah, we really, really... What's funny about that take is I recorded that one before we recorded the record version, and I'm screaming the entire time in the Shake Session, and yeah. I love it. Like, I'm super happy with it, but in the studio version, we really kind of gave it a little bit more dynamic build to it, and it's,
polished it up a little.
Yeah, so it's cool to go back and watch that video and see where it ended up, you know, turning into.
And I love listening to songs, like if there is like an acoustic or like a broke down version of a song, and then a full band version. Of course, I like to listen to different ones, but like I like to listen to the full band first, because that is essentially the quote finished product.
Yeah.
You know, and then check out the acoustic version, because either, like you said, that's how it started, or that's how it's played intimately. That's, you know, this is how the band plays it, or this is how it's played on the album, this is how I fucking play it.
Right.
Sort of thing. And so I love the differences between the two. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, just generally, but I really dig, you know, like you're saying, you were screaming, you know, the vocalization. I was showing everybody at work today, and I had it hooked up on the Bluetooth speaker, which was really loud, and like I'm working in a steel building with concrete floors, and so there's a lot of clap, there's a lot of very harsh sound in that room anyway, and so I was like, and I threw it onto that session of someone's check I work with, like, hey, you gotta check this out, and I hit play, and it used to scream, and I had it way too high. I thought she was gonna hit her head on the roof, and they're like 25 foot ceilings.
Oh,
this scared
gosh.
The shit out of her. I laughed my ass off, because I
sorry,
well, I was expecting it, she wasn't,
yeah.
I forgot to warn her.
See, shock about me.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta get their fucking attention. Ain't nothing gonna get you better than being scared.
Yeah. But scared, specifically yeah. Scared.
Skirt.
Not scared.
Skirt to dearth.
Yeah, scared to dearth.
But, well, so where all else have you been headed, man? Like, what do you got going next?
Oh, man, we're heading to Houston tomorrow, and we've got a show there tomorrow, and then the next day.
Okay.
And then, oh, thank you.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah.
Got some drinks.
Got some drinks, pre-show drinks. Yeah, Houston tomorrow, and then we're going to Port Aransas in a couple weeks, and we play a lot around DFW, but we've been working on some new songs that we've got done with our buddy David Beeman, based out of St. Louis, who... he works with Father John Misty. He's one of their stage technicians, and he's just an amazing producer, so we're really looking forward to releasing that. So we've been gearing up to throw all that out into the world.
Do you have a release date you want to throw out publicly or not?
We're looking at September for a single.
Okay.
Yeah, so most likely mid-September for a single.
Heck yeah. Of course we're going to hear that tonight.
Duh. Yeah, duh. Totally.
Yes, I'm excited. I love new fucking music, man. It makes my heart happy. So, but have you seen, speaking of new music, have you seen the video for All You're In by Tyler Childers yet?
No, is that where he's all dolled up and whatnot?
Yes, so without giving too much away, other than the main character and some animations, he essentially plays every other character in this video.
Oh, hell yes.
And this it starts out the dudes in the woods, and then in the end of the video... he winds up back in the woods.
Oh.
But okay. It's fucking crazy. I dig it. Like, I probably put easily 50, 60 views on that YouTube. That video's going hard right now.
Yeah, I need to check it out. I love everything he does. I think he's just so creative, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. He's one of the ones I haven't got a chance to see yet, man. He's on the list.
Yeah, I know he was at Billy Bob's not too long ago. And, I mean, we cover a couple of his songs just because he's... the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, he's awesome. Somebody turned me on to him. I don't even remember who. I think it was Michael Mode, to be completely honest with you. Yeah, because we were there at the Rockin' Pea in Stephenville. Mm. And it was $5 pitchers. It was me and Mode and Garrett Thompson. Those were some of the guys that ran with down there. Anyway, we're getting slammed that night. I was playing Wheeler Walker Jr. on the jukebox.
Of course.
Fucking with people. Because that's what I fucking do. I love it. Shock value. You know, get their fucking attention. You know? And Mode was like, you know, man, here, I got this. And he gets on that little tune speak thing. Because you can pay the jukebox on your phone.
Oh, like, yeah. Touch tunes or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. I don't fucking know. I wish we could still drop quarters and boxes. But I'm a fucking caveman. But he played some Tyler Childers, and I was like, he played Feathered Indians. I'm like, the fuck is this?
Oh, dude, yeah.
And it was. I wasn't expecting to fall down a hole that deep, but I think that's
deep out. Hole. Dude, speaking of Wheeler Walker, earlier this year in February, I believe we were on a about 3-week tour run up the East Coast, up through New York and DC and Charlottesville and. But yeah, when we were going up to New York, we had to stop to get gas in Jersey. And I didn't know that you can't pump your own gas in Jersey. You have to let them do it for you. They've got gas station attendants, and it's like a very serious offense in Jersey to pump your own gas.
What sort of backwards fucking pageantry is that?
I know. So when we were pulling through, I did what we do down here. Yeah. And I park my car. I go inside.
Step out. Hit your thing.
Yeah, well... I went inside and I started doing some things first. I got a little something to eat, went to the bathroom, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I left my car sitting there for maybe about 10 minutes, like nothing that I wouldn't do at any gas station in Texas or anywhere else.
No.
And all of a sudden I walk back out and this guy is just so fucking pissed. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? You left your car here. I got all these people backed up. Hey, what's the matter with you? Like, what is wrong with you? I was like, dude, I'm so sorry. You can look at my license plate. I'm obviously not from here. My apologies. And he was like, I don't care if you're from Texas. Give me a fucking car. Let me do this thing. So he takes it, and we're all just pissed. Because I'm like, dude, this is just a mistake. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, you don't have to be a dick about it.
Yeah. But then he goes over and he's yelling at his other gas station attendant, like, this motherfucker says he's from Texas. I don't care if you're from Texas. You don't leave your car here. So we were all super pissed. Yeah. So we were like,
those are fine words in Texas.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, you don't like the word from Texas. We'll give you a little Texas. Even though Wheeler's from California. But we turned on redneck shit and we just pumped it all the way. And just sat there and let it go for a second. And when we drove off, just... Oh, they were so pissed. It was so awesome.
I mean, way to like, promote the stereotype or whatever. I'm just going to fucking applaud you, sir. That's some beauty. I want to be in the backseat of that van that day.
Oh, dude, it was awesome. We felt good about it. He learned a lesson that day.
Don't fuck with Texas.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, dude, that's... So, he just fucking disappeared.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard there was some sort of, like, he got called out for... Is it being too politically incorrect, essentially?
Oh, I mean, he...
And,
I remember he posted...
But somebody, like, stumped him or something on Twitter. Like gotcha bitched. Like, yeah. Got him one... And, like, he's not on fucking Instagram. He's not on fucking Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he said some wild stuff. He said something about, like...
Adele, dude. I want to titty fuck Adele.
Yeah,
there's one.
I want to defile Adele and, like, make love to Reba. And I'm like, you...
I mean, consensually, I'm not against this.
Yeah, but in this context, it's it was a little harsh. I was like, Wheeler, I love you, but that is wild. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I'm really fucking mad he beat me to that. Because I've been... singing fucked up lyrics to, like, covering songs for years. I mean, not publicly.
Yeah.
But, like, in my car, you know, some song I'll be playing, and I'll change the lyrics up to some horrible atrocity that I'm definitely not sing going through Walmart.
Yeah.
I'll get kicked out quickly.
Yeah, every time that we
you
get
know, but
a chance.
Like, if I want to record, like, he beat me to it, man. I could have been Wheeler Walker Jr.
Yeah.
I've done it well. I'd still be on Twitter talking shit. And a pussy.
Yeah, every now and then.
There it is. I'm calling out Wheeler Walker Jr. Come back. Little bitch.
Oh, he'll take it.
He listens to this podcast.
If he doesn't, he's a twat.
Yeah, every now and then, if it's the right setting, we'll play Fuck You, Bitch. And it's so much fun.
That's beautiful. That was...
Because it's a beautiful song.
That was the unsung hit. I mean, it literally was sung. But like, that was the underdog hit on that album.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite tunes of his. Just because I think it's, like, just literally a very beautiful song, but the lyric is just hilarious.
Well, that whole first album, the first and second album, I don't know about the third album. Because I didn't really check it out that much. I heard a couple of tracks, but I didn't... Something else was going on. I think I was broke as fuck and couldn't buy an album. Mm-hmm. But the first two albums were recorded and produced by Dave Cobb.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, and he had some fucking hitters on there playing, like studio musicians. And it's, I mean, and like the arrangement, the way it's done, the people doing it, like it's great fucking music.
Yeah. Oh, dude, the production is
lyrically
insane.
It's atrocious, and I love it.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't turn me on, but it turns me on. You know what I mean? I probably like that like sort of music way too much anyway. Like, my favorite songs by other artists would be like their most obscene shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, perfect example. On the Cocky album that Kid Rock did, there's a hidden track on the unedited version on the end of the song. It's a duet with Snoop Dogg.
Oh my God.
It's featuring Snoop Dogg. I'm just going to let you listen to that song. I'm not going to say nothing else about
anything feats Snoop, I'm about it.
Like if you're driving anywhere and you listen to that song with your windows down, people will scream from the street sides, "There's children here." Like, it's obscene, and I fucking love it.
I love
like,
it.
I should have a little more couth than that.
No.
I love a very well-written song, you know, tell stories and shit like that, but no. You know, I want to hear how dirty you can get.
Yeah.
Artfully.
It's ballsy. Yeah.
Yeah, where's the risk?
Where's the risk in this?
So, do you have a title for the new project? Is that one of those things you can release yet, or are you still kicking it around in your head?
Yeah, we're still kicking it around. We've got several songs that are done. We're probably going to single them out for now. We're in the process of, you know, recording more in the idea of releasing a full length in the next several months. But the first thing that we release will be a single out of the few songs that we've got done right now, and we're still just trying to figure that out.
Heck yeah.
But we're stoked.
Right on. Well, I've got one question I ask everybody before we gotta go. I know we're getting close to your guys' showtime. But here it goes. Without getting yourself incriminated or anybody else thrown in jail, what is your craziest road story?
Craziest road story.
Oh, now, without throwing anybody under the bus or yourself behind
you
bars.
Throw me under the bus, huh?
Oh, snap, we have a willing victim.
Come get me.
Let's see. Craziest road story. I had a without giving any names, I had a stalker who had been sending me emails for months and months and months and months, and I had never ever sent anything their way, and I just kept getting emails from her. And
was she pretty?
Yes, she was a beautiful person. But look, I'm being very nice.
Okay, sorry.
Oh my gosh. It had gone on for about a year and a half of just receiving all these emails, and then we're going back to Texas, and she hits me up and she's like, "Hey, I'm going to drive down." And keep in mind, she is at the very tip of the United States. Like, it's a 26-hour drive.
Good God.
And she thought that she could make it in like 12 hours. And then I got an email from her like, "I just realized while on the road, I will not be able to make it to your show tonight, but I will make it to the one tomorrow." So
at least you have time to prepare.
Yeah. So she comes down and we're playing like our favorite bar in Dallas. And all of a sudden, I walk in, and one of the bartenders there, who's a good friend of mine, she's like, "Hey, this woman came in here and dropped off a package for you." And I was like, "Oh, God. Okay, what's in it?" And she was like, "I don't know, but it's really heavy." And I was like, okay.
What's in the box?
So, well, there is a box involved. So we get it. There's a giant blanket on the inside,
You opened the son of a bitch?
Oh, we had to.
Well, oh, we went through it.
It's a separate head.
We went through. But
it could have been a bomb. I'd have called the fucking, well, them Aquaman-looking motherfuckers. They come over there and,
Well, it got scary for a second because we started pulling stuff out. It was this giant blanket, three huge rocks, just rocks, a couple bags of cheese curds, and then there was
unrefrigerated cheese curds from 26 hours away.
Yeah. And then there was this tiny little box with another box on top of it, and we just picked it up, and we were like, what is this? And we're looking at it, and then we see a switch on it, and we were like, what the fuck? And there's wires on it. And then all of a sudden, all these lights turn on, and me and Dawson are running out of the back of the venue like, fuck, 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 fuck! So we throw it in this trash can, and we're just like, oh, God, is this going to blow up? And it didn't blow up.
We told everyone to stay away from the trash can.
No fucking shit!
Yeah, and then one of our buddies was like, I have to go look at this. So he dumpster dove and went and grabbed that thing. I was like, dude.
What was it? Just a little strobe light?
It was a little rock. No, it was a whole bunch of wires with lights on it. It was hooked into the box, like rigged into the box.
Yeah. But
So it did nothing.
It did not. Yeah, it was a decorative box, but we definitely thought it was a bomb. It was really scary.
What were the rocks? Okay, I get the cheese curds, but like fucking rocks?
Yeah.
Energy crystals.
Yeah, energy crystals, I guess.
Dude.
But it was a trip, and eventually the staff was kind enough to ask her to leave, and she very cordially did leave. She didn't make a scene or anything, but it was just one of those things where it was like, look, I've never said anything to you ever. And you just drove 26 hours to come.
You never entertained her. You never emailed her back. Or
never,
anything?
Not once. Never.
Well, why you don't fucking homeschool your children?
You said, oh God.
You said that she cordially left, but she did stall in the parking lot, and we had all our boys there. So I had a homeboy calling me like, her license plate is E1654. That's a fucking G.
Yeah. Oh,
she's
yeah.
Eastbound. No, he stood there.
And he asked her
if you need some friends that have been in some trouble, because they're the ones who know what to do when shit goes down.
Well, yeah. That's me. Before they kicked her out, the same buddy who watched her in the parking lot asked her to dance. And she said no. Probably because I was going to be there. But
I fucked with her energy.
Yeah. But, there are several other crazy road stories, but that's one where we drove up to a stalker of mine of a year and a half showing up with a bag of rocks and cheese curds and
a box that blanket was she a bomb. Said she made by hand. That was too perfect.
Did it have a tag on it?
It was from Old Navy.
You know, we gotta sew in them wash the directions.
Yeah.
So well, I know we've got to get you on stage. Thank you so much for having me out, dude.
Bruh.
It's good to see you. We're going to hang all fucking night. We're going to make a whole night of this. I ain't got work tomorrow. We're going to fuck some shit up. How's that sound?
Yeah. Maybe we do another edition of this post-show. Oh,
part two potentially coming soon. You know, pending alcohol.
The slurred version.
Or, well, this has been.
With subtitles.
This version in cursive.
Yeah.
But this has been another motherfucking episode of the Quaid Things podcast. Hug your mom, pet your dog, don't be an asshole. We'll catch you guys next time.